Good morning, beloved. It is again a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. We're so grateful to be here today on this another Lord's Day, and I pray that your morning has gone well. We're grateful for our music department for helping us to lift up Zion songs to the Lord this morning. Let us pray together, and we'll jump right into the word today. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. Thank you again for this another opportunity to be let down into the deep treasures of your word. We pray, O God, again that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice. Touch, O God, these lips of clay that I may be able again to edify your people according to the power that works in me. Then, O God, we pray you speak to the stillness of our hearts, that we might know we've heard from on high. It is in Jesus' name we do pray, and together every child of God said amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Those of you who've been following along with us know that we've been going through a series out of 1 Thessalonians entitled Until He Returns, and we're now at the third chapter, and on last week we talked about a shepherd's heart, part one. We will today talk about a shepherd's heart, part two, and I pray you've been reading along with us out of your word, and I just want to highlight real quickly reading from the third chapter. We're going to start at verse number 6, 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, starting at verse number 6. Here's what Paul says. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving, verse 9, can we return to God for you for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? I want to stop there, put a tag on this text, and talk about for a timely tidbit. A shepherd's heart, part two. A shepherd's heart, part two. Those of you who were with us last week know that we told you that the Apostle Paul had a special bond with the church at Thessalonica. He felt and he knew that he had been forced to leave them too quickly. And even though the church was facing persecution, Paul had longed to be with them. The truth is, beloved, Paul knew that since they were facing some difficult days and that the church was facing persecution, he had no real way of knowing how the church was doing. It was weighing heavy on his heart. And, beloved, he had questioned whether or not he had taught them enough. Did they have time enough to grow in their faith? Was their faith strong enough to survive? And we know that since persecution was upon them, were they strong enough to handle the persecution? Paul had to know, and so we already know that he sent Timothy, his young protege, to find out how this church was doing. Those of you who've been reading along with us know that Timothy, he comes back. That's our text today. He comes back with the news that was music to the ear of the apostle. Paul had the heart of a shepherd, and so he had some real concerns. That was part one. He had some real concerns about what was going on. And in part one, we shared with you the reality of Paul's concern. We said to you last week that Paul was concerned because of his absence. Verse 1, he talked about being left alone at Athens. He missed the fellowship of the believers at Thessalonica, and he wanted to be with them, especially because of the persecution. And these believers, these were Paul's spiritual children. And the word left in that first verse has the ideal of isolation and being desolate. And Paul, no doubt, when he sends Timothy to see about the church at Thessalonica, he felt isolated and alone and even desolate. Our one big takeaway that we had was that even though Paul isolated himself for the good of the brethren, he sends Timothy to check on them, and thus he is alone. The idea we shared with you last week is that we ought not purposely isolate ourselves from the fellowship. Not on purpose, not on purpose. It is a good thing that we remain connected. That was the point we tried to make there. And then we talked about Paul's concern for the believers at Thessalonica was not only because of his absence, but because of the adversary. Paul reminded them in verse 4 that when he was there, he kept telling them that they were to suffer afflictions, and now they see it because it has come to pass. He wanted them not to be moved, not to be shaken, if you would, by these afflictions. In other words, he didn't want the afflictions that the church at Thessalonica was experiencing. He did not want them to be led astray or to lose heart. He didn't want them to be moved. In other words, these afflictions, my brothers and sisters, Paul said, were destined. And he unmasked the culprit of these afflictions as the tempter, the devil himself, in verse 5. And we said that Paul is saying that the tempter is not really a respected person. He will use anything and everything he can to bring us down and to draw us away from a right standing with God. And listen, beloved, here's what we discovered. One of the big takeaways we said was that if the tempter can't get you one way, he's going to try to get you another way. The big takeaway is that we got to be alert. We got to be sober-minded, knowing that the adversary, the devil, is roaming around seeking whom he may devour. We got to stay alert. We got to stay sober in this world gone wrong because the enemy is trying to take us out. And then we said, lastly, I tried to give you some answers to the questions of why afflictions, why adversities in our world, why all the challenges that we're going through. And the only good answer that I came up with was because we live in a fallen world where evil and Satan reign at the present moment, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust, because the world system and its values are against Christ and all who follow him, because the Christ Jesus is not Lord in totality yet, because this world is groaning until the day of redemption. I summed it all up last week by saying the maturity of the believer is dependent on his commitment and determination to follow Christ no matter how difficult life is. I hope that helped somebody last week. This week, part 2 of A Shepherd's Heart, I want to deal with the report that comforted Paul. We saw the reality that concerned Paul last week, but this week I want to deal with the report that comforted Paul. Paul was comforted by the words of young Timothy when he came back with a positive report. I mentioned Paul was in Athens alone, about to head south to Corinth, and he sends Timothy to Thessalonica to check on the progress of the church. He writes a letter for Timothy to deliver where he outlined the desire the shepherd has for sheep. First, Timothy reported back to Paul that what he found in Thessalonica was strong faith. That's the first point. Write that down somewhere. Paul gets the report that in Thessalonica there is a group of people who are trusting in God. They are believing. They have strong faith. He says in verse 5, "For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain." Verse 6, Timothy came back with a report and brought us the good news of your faith and love. Get that. That word faith is the Greek word pistis, which speaks of not only a mere intellectualism, but rather a spiritual belief system. It depicts, here it is, a God-given ability to have confidence in and commitment to the Word of God. If God had said it, then I believe it, and that settles it. One commentator refers to faith as a living, divinely implanted principle. I'm living out the word. I am strong in the faith. In other words, beloved, Paul wanted these believers not only to know what they believe as well as why they believed it. He wanted them to be rooted and grounded in the things of God. He wanted them to plant their roots deep within the rich soil of God's truth. And he found out that this church at Thessalonica, they got it. They understood what was asked of them. One commentator said that Timothy delivered the good news that their faith in Christ was genuine. It was the real deal, holy feel. Their hearts had been like the good soil that received the seed of the gospel and bore much fruit. They were developing strong faith. And when Paul gets the word that they are strong in the faith, Paul is excited. He's grateful. Listen, beloved, 1 Timothy chapters 3, verse 6 and 7 says that God has given us the inspired word because it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, Harry Einstein put it like this when he said, "Doctrine tells us what is right, reproof tells us what is not right, correction tells us how to get right, and instruction," watch what he says, "tells us how to stay right." I like that, beloved, because as believers, we should seek to make daily progress in our faith. We want to have strong faith. So we should seek, as Jude said, to build up ourselves on the most holy faith. We must not seek what man says, but what God says. We must not settle for cheap imitations, but we must strive to know the real thing. And sadly enough, beloved, many Christians only believe what their grandparents or their parents or their pastor or their church believes. They have not mined into the truth of God's word to discover for themselves what thus saith the Lord. Listen, let me just share this with you right up front. As your pastor, I do my best every service to be prepared to properly expound the scriptures to you. However, hear me, I do not want you to base your theology or doctrine upon my word, but solely upon God's word. If you will develop a consistent routine and work out with God's word, you will develop a strong faith, a strong personal faith. Paul hears that this church at Thessalonica had strong faith. They believed the word of God. I like it where a circuit preacher entered into one church building with his young son. He dropped a coin into the offering box in the back. Not many came that Sunday, and those who didn't seem to get excited about what he said. And after the service, the preacher and the son walked to the back and emptied the box, and out fell that lone coin. The young boy said, "Dad, if you had put more in, you would have gotten more out." Listen, I like that, because here it is. We want strong faith, but we've got to put more in if we want more out of it. We've got to put more in because the Bible says we ought to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we've got to desire the pure milk of the word that we might grow thereby. That's why we've got to allow the word of God to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. If we want strong faith, if we put more in, we'll get more out of it. Are you listening to me? Listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is the truth of the matter is, beloved, he is comforted by the fact that they had strong faith. But not only did he see strong faith, he saw there was a sweet fellowship. Write that down somewhere. They had strong faith, but they also had sweet fellowship. Verse 6, Paul refers to Timothy's report as the good news of your faith and love. Your faith and love. It is interesting how Paul links the two together, faith and love. He speaks of their strong faith and their sweet fellowship. In other words, it was evident that they sincerely loved God because of they sincerely loved one another. Listen, beloved, that made sweet fellowship. Because they loved God, they loved one another. And the Bible is clear and says that we will be known as Christ's disciples by our love for one another. Are you listening to me? The Greek word there is agape, and it indicates kindness and favor. It's the kindness and favor that originates with God. Hear me, beloved, and then is manifest to others through his people. It starts with God. That's where real love comes from, but it doesn't stop with God. Listen, it is manifest to others through God's people. Throughout the scriptures, where we find the attribute of faith, we will find the attitude of love not far behind. As one writer said, faith and love go together, grow together, and flow together. Where there is strong faith, there will be sweet fellowship. Listen, he goes on to say that Timothy reported that the Thessalonian church always remembered Paul kindly and longed to see him just as much as he longed to see them. You see, beloved, the church genuinely desired to see Paul, even though he was separated from them. They longed to fellowship with him, and they desired to hear him teach and preach God's word, and they appreciated his leadership, the leadership that he provided. Timothy's report that the Thessalonians always thought kindly of Paul was good news to the apostles' ear, especially in view of the many enemies and the concern that Satan or false teachers would draw the Thessalonians away from the truth, as they endeavored to do so in many other places. Paul was thrilled, hear me, beloved, to know that the church trusted him and was loyal to his teachings. They had sweet fellowship with one another, and they longed for the fellowship with the Apostle Paul. It just shows again, beloved, the importance of the fellowship in the body of Christ. It shows how needed and necessary is the fellowship of the saints. Are you listening to me? Can I just say this? An individual or congregation that does not desire fellowship with other believers cannot be right with the Lord. Y'all remember the hymn that we used to sing at the end of services, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred's minds is like to that above." In other words, the fellowship that we experience on this side is like heaven on earth. Are you listening to me? Here's what I want to share with you. That hymn was written by Dr. John Foster, the pastor of a small but poor Baptist congregation in Waynesgate, Yorkshire. Listen, his small salary was totally inadequate. And so he accepted a call to a large church in London, Baptist church in London. He preached his farewell sermon to the small church in Waynesgate. And after he preached that sermon, he began to load his belongings onto a wagon when sorrowing members of his congregation, showing deep affection and grief, pleaded with him and his wife not to leave. And Fawcett's wife was so overcome with grief that she sat down and wept. And she said, "Oh, John, I cannot bear this." And John said to her, "We shall not go." It was so tough on them that they stayed there. And his decision to remain there Waynesgate, it made joy run all through the congregation. To commemorate the event, Dr. Fawcett wrote that hymn, that Blessed Be the Tide hymn. He had proved that the fellowship of the saints was more to be desired than money and physical comforts. Are you listening to me? Hear me, beloved. You can't buy fellowship. You can't barter for fellowship. You can't bargain for fellowship. There's nothing like the fellowship of the saints. And I don't know about you, beloved, but I love when the people of God come together. I love to associate with my church family, brothers and sisters in Christ, whether we're here for service or for extracurricular activities. I love it. There's nothing that will replace genuine fellowship with those of like faith. Are you listening to me? Hear me, beloved. Beecher said it like this: fellowship is sympathy expressed or manifested in such a way as to draw others toward you in the bonds of fellowship. It's like making men feel that they are your brethren, that they are related to you. Are you listening to me? That they are part of your person. Listen, that moves me right there, because that's what we are. Whether we want to believe it or not, we're family. Whether we want to agree with it or not, listen, we are a part of one another. That simply means when you hurt, I hurt. When you're down, I'm down. When you rejoice, I rejoice with you. I don't get mad at you. I don't get jealous about what God is blessing you with, because the same God that blessed you is the same God that can bless me. I can rejoice when somebody overcomes. Listen, because it's the same God. That's what it means to be part of a church family. Here's my big takeaway right here is, listen, that's why I keep encouraging us to connect somewhere in the body of Christ. You got to make sure. You don't have to connect everywhere. You just have to connect somewhere. You got to let folk know where you are, and you got to recognize that we need the fellowship of the saints. That's what Paul found when Timothy came back with a report. He found that they had strong faith and sweet fellowship. They had mad love for one another. I like to say that because, listen, whether you know it or not, you can't stop me from loving you. And I pray I can't stop you from loving me. We got to have mad love for one another, where we are concerned about one another, that when you down, I'm down. When you up, I'm up. When you rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. And that is what sweet fellowship is all about. Let me just throw this out here real quick. If you don't have a church home that you can connect with, today your search can end. There's no reason for you to be out there hanging on a limb all by yourself when, as a Christian, when God has designed for the church to be in sweet fellowship. And I know I hear you already saying we're in a pandemic and we can't come to the church house. Well, you can't come to the church house, but the church certainly can come to you. I know that's right. Preach, Pastor Reese. I'm trying to do that. Listen, the report that Paul got from Timothy is that there was strong faith. This comforted Paul. He saw there was sweet fellowship. But lastly, beloved, Paul got the report that this church at Thessalonica was standing fast. They had strong faith. They believed the word of God. They had sweet fellowship, but they were also standing fast. They were standing firm. Look at verse 7. It says, "For this reason, brothers, in all our distress," watch what Paul says, "in all our affliction, we have been comforted." There it is. We've been comforted about you through your faith. Verse 8 says, "For we now live if you are standing fast in the Lord." Paul says in verse 5, "Look, I sent Timothy to you to find out how you were doing in the faith." And he comes back, he tells me that you got strong faith, you got sweet fellowship, and you are standing fast. And he says, "For this reason, it brings me comfort." Timothy's report was a source of the apostle's shift from anxiety to delight, from pause to praise, from worry to wonder, from concern to comfort. In the midst of all Paul's distress, affliction, all the persecution and pressure, all the trials and troubles that Paul was experiencing, he was comforted about the true saving faith of his children in Christ. They were doing well in the midst of persecution. In other words, the knowledge that they stood firm in the Lord stimulated Paul to a renewed zeal in ministry. It was like a shot in the arm, a new injection or infusion of purpose. He says in that verse, "For now we live." Verse 8. I like that. In other words, he says, since you are standing firm, since you are hanging in there, since you are not losing hope, it has given me new life. He says, "I live. I'm living now. I'm living now, knowing that you are doing okay." You see, my brothers and sisters, it should be noted that when churches were unfaithful to the word and succumbed to sin and false teachers, it devastated the apostle. Listen, beloved, that was the case of the Corinthian church, over which he actually literally became depressed. Listen, and lost interest in preaching the gospel in a city where God had even opened the door. Let me drop this on you real quick. I'll let you go. Listen, whenever we see any believer standing firm, whenever we see any individual hanging in there, whenever we see an individual growing in Christ, that standing firm word there is a military term that means not to retreat in the face of an attack. That means you are standing firm. You are holding your ground. Listen, that ought to bring every believer comfort, listen, and reassurance, and it ought to encourage us when we see others standing strong in the face of difficulty, when they don't retreat, when they don't fall back, when they don't throw in the towel, when they don't give up, when they don't walk away. That ought to be a source of encouragement to us. And truth is, beloved, here's what we got to know, is that our faith in Christ, when we stand strong, can have such an effect on those around us. Listen, beloved, we better recognize there are people watching us every day. We've already claimed that we're Christians and that we trust God no matter what. We already claim that for God I live and for God I'll die. Listen, beloved, we ought to never discount our stance for Christ. We ought to never acquiesce on the fact that when we stand firm. Hear me, beloved. Somebody is watching us. It may be our children. It may be our grand-grand. It may be our employees or those whom we work with. But they're watching. And our standing firm can be an encouragement to somebody else. Our strength can strengthen others. Our standing firm can breathe fresh life into somebody else. Watch what Paul says in verse 9. I love this. He says, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before God?" In other words, beloved, Paul is simply saying, listen, I can't thank God enough. Are you listening to me? In return for all the joy that we are experiencing knowing that you're doing well. He says, I can't go before God enough and be in his presence enough because of what the joy that we are experiencing simply because you are doing well. He says, I thank God. I rejoice over the fact, and I ain't got enough tongues to thank God enough for the joy that is welling up in my soul simply because you are doing well. You see, beloved, this shows Paul's great joy at seeing progress and strength in the lives of those he loved. And listen, it ought to bring us joy when we see our children in the faith, when we see the believers stand strong, when we see individuals that we love standing up for the Lord in the face of opposition and persecution and trials and tribulations. Are you listening to me? When we see others stand firm in the midst of difficulties, it ought to bring us joy. So let me just give you the big takeaway from here. Listen, I want to encourage all of you that no matter what you're going through, stand firm, hang in there, don't give up, because your life is a living testimony to somebody else. Are you listening to me? You are a living epistle, and they are watching you on every hand. And the truth is, every time you stand strong, you just may be encouraging somebody else. So can I just give you this quote by Chuck Swindoll? I'll let you go. Listen, beloved, in his book, Living Above the Level of Mediocrity, he says, "Press on. Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence." He says, "Talent will not, because nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent." He says, "Genius will not, because unrewarded genius is almost a proverb." He says, "Education will not." He says, "Because the world is full of educated derelicts." He says, "Persistence and determination alone are important." So, beloved, I want to encourage you, stand fast. I know it's tough. I want to encourage you, hang in there. I know it's difficult. I want to let you know that in the midst of this pandemic, I know it's tough and hard, but you got to press on. You got to press on to see what the end is going to be. You got to press on simply because I need you to know that God will see you through. Press on because God will make a way for you. Press on, and if you can't press on any further, listen, beloved, just look at Christ on the cross. Can I just tell you real quick that they beat him beyond recognition, and beloved, when they came to get him, he willingly laid down his life. If you can't press on, just look at what Christ did. They drug him from judgment hall to judgment hall, but he pressed on. They put a crown of thorns on his head, but he pressed on. Are you listening to me? They pierced him in the side, but he pressed on. They hung him high and stretched him wide. Are you listening to me? But that didn't deter him. He pressed on. Someone said that he died on that old rugged cross, but he pressed on even in death. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died, listen, beloved, until the dead in Jerusalem got up out of the grave. He died dead until the centurion, so he died until the centurion soldier sincerely says, surely that must be the Son of God. Listen, he died until the sun refused to shine. Let me just tell you, he pressed on. They put him in a borrowed tomb, but he pressed on. And somebody said, in that borrowed tomb, he stayed there 3 days. He stayed in the grave 3 days, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And if you can't press on, just look at what Christ did on that great getting up morning. He got up with all power in his hand. And because he got up, we too, every single day, can get up and we can press on. I want to encourage you to stand firm. Hang in there. Don't give up. Press on to see what the end is going to be. That is the Shepherd's Heart, Part 2. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. Thank you again for this another opportunity to be let down into the deep treasures of your word. We're grateful, oh God, that Paul got a positive report from his protege, Timothy, that these believers at Thessalonica had strong faith. They had sweet fellowship, but they were also standing firm. And I pray, God, as the church of today, you help us to have strong faith. Help us to believe your word and trust in your word. Help us to recognize that as we grow in your word, the more we put in it, the more we'll get out of it. Help us to have sweet fellowship, not to isolate again ourselves, but then also help us to stand firm that we might be an example to somebody else. And just like Paul was comforted by the Thessalonians' example, we pray that our lives may strengthen somebody else. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and together every child of God shouted amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Listen, beloved, let me just throw this out real quick. I said it in my sermon, but I'll say it again. There's two reasons I'm going to extend the invitation. First of all, I'm going to extend the invitation simply because I want to know if you're out there today and you have never said yes to the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead, I need you to know the Bible says thou shalt be saved. If you don't know Jesus for yourself, you can get to know him today. Flashing across the screen is a number, and someone will, you call that number, someone will pick up the line, and they will gladly lead you through God's word on what it means to be saved, what salvation is all about. Secondly, I said in my sermon that you need the sweet fellowship. So if you're a Christian out there and you're not part of a fellowship or a body of believers, listen, your search can end today. I know I'm right about it. Hear me, beloved. You may find a church just as good as St. Paul, but you won't find one any better. Are you listening to me? Call that same number. You already a Christian. You already know the Lord, but you need a church where the people of God can put their arms around you to help you to grow and mature in the Lord. A place where you can connect. Are you listening to me? Where you can be part of ministry serving this world and this community. So call that same number. That person will lead you on what it means to be part of this family of faith so that you can have the sweet fellowship that the body of believers experience on a regular basis. Just call that number. And let me just pray for you real quick. Most gracious and eternal Father, if someone out there needs to make a decision today, I pray you move upon their heart by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help them to recognize that they need you this day, whether it be by giving their life to you or joining this church family. I pray, God, you give them strength and the courage to do so this very hour. We love you, Lord, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise be to God. This is Second Sunday, and let me just tell you real quick, right up front, I want to encourage you right now to give. Those of you who've been faithfully giving, let me just throw this out again. I'm grateful for your faithful giving of your 10% and more. Some of you have been doing over and above what the Lord has even asked of us to do. And so I'm grateful to pastor such a group of people who understand that there's a blessing in giving. Here's what I need you to know. You cannot outgive God. And let me just say this real quick today. Listen, beloved, we need a good offering today. So whatever you can, do what you can. And if the Lord pushes you and prods you to do more, I pray you do more. The more you give, the more we can do. There are some things that we've got to do around here at the church, and there are some staff we're still trying to hire, and we want to do quite a bit for Thanksgiving and all of that stuff. So listen, beloved, don't hold back on God. Listen, let the Lord bless you through giving. Listen, we cannot outgive God. So I want to encourage you to give at this time, and we'll close in our closing prayer and thank God for your giving. I just want to put it on your mind, and those of you who have been faithful know the blessing it is in giving. Know this, beloved, that we still remain closed at this time. We're still evaluating whether or not what the CDC and the county and everybody else says, and I know other churches are open and all of that, and we have not stopped trying to hear the voice of God as it relates to opening the church. So soon and very soon, we'll be talking more about it, and just keep it in before the Lord and asking God on the right timing and all of that good stuff. And I pray that you are joining in on our new series on Bible study, on getting to know God. And we talked about last week what God knows about you. And if you haven't seen it, go back and look at it. And we'll pick it up this Wednesday for Bible study, closing out that first lesson on getting to know God. What does God know about you? Listen, our Harvest Festival is coming. It's a drive-through for children and of all ages. Don't forget, this month is an exciting activity. It's an exciting activity for St. Paul and the community, October 31st from 5 to 8:30. And I pray that you will come out and be part of it. There'll be multiple stations for you to drive through and plenty of treats and fun that is already planned. Let's stay safe. Bring your mask. We're still going to shelter kind of in place, and see the church website for the details. Also, I wanted to remind those who know that the weather is changing and it's getting colder, so we're accepting new and gently used winter coats, gloves, and scarves for children 5 years of age to 12 years old. And listen, the truth is this, you can go and get a couple of coats and bring them brand new. They don't have to be used or anything like that. If you choose to bring the used ones, I pray that you send them to the cleaners first and all of that good stuff. But we can, those of you who can, go get some new ones, and you can do that. And listen, that's a way of giving back to our community. And so we're going to have a coat drive, and I pray that you drop them off at the office Tuesday through Friday between 9 and 5, and we'll accept the donations all the way through November 10th. So just remember that. Let's support our children and our community, those mothers and fathers who cannot afford coats for their children. Let us help them out. Listen, God bless you so that you can bless someone else. Remember the COVID vaccinations and COVID testing that we're doing on Fridays, every Friday from 9 to 11 and 1 to 4. We're doing the vaccinations, and we're also doing the testing. So I pray that all of you are trying to get tested. If you're not vaccinated, and if you're not vaccinated, I pray you're getting vaccinated, and we're providing that opportunity for our church and our community. All right, I'm done for today. I pray that this sermon today has blessed you, a shepherd's heart. We're trying to have, we want strong faith, we want sweet fellowship, and we want to be standing firm against persecution, trials, and tribulation. Thank you for tuning in with us. And listen, beloved, we shall see you on Wednesday. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, now unto him who's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his throne of grace, unto the only wise God be power and dominion, hence now and forevermore. And together every child of God shouted amen. 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 God bless you. We shall see you Wednesday or next Sunday. Peace. We'll see you.